This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Donald Trump says Nancy Pelosi is crazy. And Nancy Pelosi doesn't necessarily want to talk about impeachment, but it seems like that's starting to come out of her mouth. What's going on in Washington, D.C., and do you care, and does it ultimately affect you? China and the tariffs and the shaky relationship are starting to definitely affect many of us, and why is that? We'll dive into that convo. Plus, can I get a settlement? Harvey Weinstein, remember him? Oh, yeah. His accusers reached a whopper of a compensation agreement. He was the one who tore the cover off of what had happened to so many people and really laid the groundwork for Me Too. In the meantime, in Missouri, I feel you. Seeing that video sickens me. Floodwaters just really crushing way too many people. Once again, the weather becomes the villain. Let's start with the relationship between Donald Trump and Nancy Pelosi. Here's the latest in that soap opera. She's calling for an intervention to save the nation from him. He says she's flat out crazy. The war of words between the Prez and the Speaker of the House has really ratcheted up, and that relationship has definitely deteriorated, for sure. I haven't seen anything like this in a very long time. Mostly it's behind closed doors, and there's lots of nasty innuendos. So what's going to happen in the 2020 election? That's why you care. Is the president going to be reelected? Or one of the Hollywood squares of Democrats, ultimately Trump the president. And it's interesting because there is no working together. It's just a punt after a punt after a punt. So that's where it affects you and I. Because there still is that crazy log jam, the finger pointing, the blame game, the whole thing that we've talked about for the entire time that I've been on this show. Can I get a voice of reason besides my own? So here we go again. Pelosi says that he needs help. She's a mess, is what Donald Trump says. In fact, he had his White House staff on hand for something else that he was doing, and he just said right out to them, Kellyanne Conway, what do you think? Did I leave here and was I throwing a temper tantrum? She said no. Sarah Sanders said, no, I've seen it. It did not happen, meaning she's seen him in that mood before. So what can you do? Install nanny cams so everybody can get a real clear view of what actually is going on when any of these people meet, meaning Nancy Pelosi and the president. And Chuck Schumer throw him in the middle as well. He did say, Donald Trump said, as the president, I don't do cover-ups. Who is fighting for subpoenas for testimony by current and former White House officials? Who's doing that? So we're still stuck on Russia, but yet we have lots to deal with China. Those negotiations that seemed like they were still going okay, and oh, don't worry, they're not going okay. China is saying trade talks can't continue unless the U.S. addresses its wrong actions. Yikes. This is what we call more than a war of words. The president announced, as you all know, tariffs that hit about 2 billion, excuse me, B is bigger than M, $200 billion worth of Chinese goods and would increase to 25% from 10. And that happened. So the last couple of weeks have been really nasty. What's also curious is nearly two-fourths of the people who responded to a joint survey between the American Chambers of Commerce in Shanghai and Beijing say the latest round of U.S. tariffs and planned counter-tariffs from China are negatively affecting their businesses. So there is no love lost here. None. I mean, this is a conflict. This is a trade conflict. So both are caught in the middle of this. Who comes out the winner? Could be us in the end. Could be the United States in the end. And then what's ever happening on the stock market and whatever stocks you might have, it bounces back in a better direction, hopefully. This would scare me. I don't know about the rest of you. We keep talking about artificial intelligence and robots and what does it all mean. And I was reading a story and the headline grabbed me, and so I want to share it with you right away. Imagine this. Your kids are going to school. They get a health inspection. They look at an eye chart, all that kind of stuff. But instead of a nurse, doctor, whoever being there with them, there is a robot. They diagnose a variety of sicknesses in children, including conjunctivitis, hand, foot, and mouth disease. This, though, if you were worried, is happening in China starting at the preschools, kids age 2 to 6. It is a boxy body, smiling, cartoony face kind of robot. So they stand in front of the robot for a quick checkup by showing their eyes and their throats. And that's it. Determination is made right then and there. You could say, oh, well, that's good because if something's going on, we would find out about it as parents, grandparents, whatever. But I don't know. I think there's something about having to check in that way and how long till that becomes the norm in the United States. Wow. Honestly, scary to think about. So scary to think about. Let's move to something else, and it's Harvey Weinstein. His accusers, boy, and there was lurid details, all that came forward. Now have a $44 million deal. And the New York Attorney General's office has agreed to it to resolve the lawsuits, compensate alleged victims of the Hollywood producer. This is the deal. This is the financial terms that would have to be painted. But the $44 million proposal includes $30 million allocated for plaintiffs. That's a broad category that includes alleged victims, former Weinstein employees and studio creditors, and it would cover the plaintiff's lawyer fees. Wow. So interesting that this was a year ago, well, less than a year ago, when we were really talking about what happened to him and what should happen to him. Does he ease back into society, but in an anonymous way, or is it really too late for that? I'm going to say too late because we live in the era of cell phones, snapping pictures, etc. You can't be anonymous. I think it'd be very difficult for him to find himself in a situation where he's anonymous. Hang with us, because guess where we're going next? Harvey used to play in this space. I'll give you a hint. There's cameras, actors, and casting involved. Yes, bingo. We're going to the movies. On the flip side.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us. That nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.
Everybody listening to us in the Virgin Islands, I hear we're quite popular. Thanks to all of you for listening to the show. I'm starting to get those emails, etc. And my pal Milan Vukovic told me a lot of you are drinking Tahibo tea. Woohoo! I think it's good stuff. I'm telling you, it's helped me immensely in a few areas, especially with traveling, where I think it would have been tough for me to recover voice-wise. Because I'm using it so much behind mics on the stage and mics in the studio. So thanks to all of you in the Virgin Islands for paying attention to America Tonight. And shout out to Kyle, who's running the technicals for this one this time around. How about this? Godzilla, as we take you to the movies, has been made a bunch of different times. A great trivia question is how many times? When was the first Godzilla? Well, the first Godzilla go way back to 1954, and there have been so many films, like 35 films about Godzilla. And, you know, people ask all kinds of questions about Godzilla. You know, how was Godzilla created? And it was the 54 version where a Godzilla initially came to be. And of course, we don't want to give away all the stories about Godzilla, because there is the latest installment that actually I've seen it on a big screen, some hype for it, and it looks kind of interesting. Here's the latest one. Roll it, Kyle.
What we are witnessing here is the return of Titans.
How many of these things are there?
17 and counting.
That's messed up.
Mothra. Rodan. Ghidorah.
Oh my.
They're moving like a pack. They're hunting. They all respond directly to an alpha. We stop this Ghidorah, we stop them all.
Is there another creature that might stand a chance against him?
Free. Oh, yeah, sure. Let's bring him in for a beer.
No, this time we join the fight.
Run.
In this world, we just live in it.
Damn right.
All right, so this one is Godzilla, King of the Monsters. And you would recognize some of the people in this. Vera Farmiga's in it, Sally Hawkins, Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights, Bradley Whitford. A bunch of different faces that certainly you would remember. Let's put it that way. Some of them character actors who are fantastic. Is this any good? It's gotten kind of mixed reviews. Are you a fan of Godzilla? If you are, you're hooked. That's it. You're going to see it, and you're going to want to see it on a big screen. If not, you're going to stream it some weekend, 6, 7, 8, maybe 9 months from now. It'll cost you less. All right, this next one is called Book Smart. So what's it all about? Check it out.
Can I get a what?
What?
Jesus Christ.
No, that's okay. Maybe later.
We didn't party because we wanted to focus on school and get into good colleges.
And it worked.
We are not one-dimensional. We are smart and fun.
Woo! Excuse me.
We have to go to a party tonight.
What?
What took them 4 years, we're doing in one night!
Mace, listen, it is very important that you keep this safe.
Tonight is your night.
Prepare to get bashed!
Not in like a violent way, completely consensual bashed. Prepare to get consensually bashed. I'll say, I'll have him change it.
Yeah, so there you go. This movie features a slew of young actresses. This would be a teen flick if you got to drop somebody off, if you know what I'm saying. It actually has gotten decent reviews, and it's about academic overachievers. Imagine that, two young girls keeping their noses to the grindstone, trying to get a leg up on their high school peers. Woo! So anyway, this one is R. It is a comedy. It's 1 hour and 45 minutes long, so not short. Brightburn, our final flick we're looking at. Here it is.
Whatever you've done, I know there is good in you.
Request your backup!
the sound of my voice.
No, just take that. No.
I do.
Rated R starts Thursday night, May 23rd.
That's right. So, drama sci-fi, 1 hour, 31 minutes. Looks a little scary. What if a child from another world crash-landed on Earth? Ooh. But instead of being that superhero we're always talking about, it's instead something a little more sinister. Thus, you get Brightburn. You might have recognized the screams. It's an interesting cast that you have here. Jennifer Holland is in it. Also, Matt Jones and Jackson Dunn is part of the cast, too. And it is that anti-hero kind of movie. It's sort of the superhero horror movie in a way, right? What are the most effective ways to deal with the realization that your child is demonic? not sure, really. Pretty scary, it looks to me. It looks like there's a lot of tension in it. So if you like scary movies that aren't really, you know, slashers, this could be the right movie for you. It's classified as drama sci-fi. And very, very suspenseful, so it falls into that category. I like suspenseful movies, but, you know, you can only take me to the edge of the line so far. And I don't know, this is this effort. I looked at a lot of reviews about this movie, and it kind of got mixed reviews. Some raved a little bit about it, and others thought that it was, what did I read? One headline said it was a dim effort. Yikes. Dim effort. That does not bode well for that movie. Hey, coming up, a couple of really interesting and very different authors that I'm going to introduce you to that I think you'll enjoy in my author's corner as we boot it out to our next segment. I'll meet you there.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
It's the breaking news. Conservatives, Republicans, and supporters of the president have been waiting months and months for President Trump issuing an executive order granting Attorney General Bill Barr authority to declassify documents related to spying on the 2016 Trump presidential campaign. The president says he wants to make sure all Americans learn the truth as to what went on during the last election cycle. A wild time at the White House with high-level insults between Nancy Pelosi and President Trump. He bashes the Speaker of the House, calling her
crazy Nancy. I tell you what, I've been watching her, and I have been watching her for a long period of time. She's not the same person. She's lost it.
She says she's praying for him and hoping his family or his people would stage an intervention.
I pray for the President of the United States.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
He's in a virtual green room right now. He's written a book called Honey Pot. Wait till you hear this story. David, thanks so much for hanging with us.
Oh, thank you, Kate.
So, first of all, the title is great. I love the title of your book, Honey Pot. And it's very explicit in a sense, but it's explicit for a reason, because we're talking about covert operations, secret plots against the United Kingdom. Explain the book to us.
Yes, I was asked to write a book on eroticism, and I decided that I wanted more out of the book and was advised by some writers that I spoke to write a book that was on fantasy but had characters in it similar to Julian Fellowes' Downton Abbey that people could follow along with and associate with. So I picked, during the Soviet Cold War, they had what was called the honey trap, and they would lure diplomats, military, and other government personnel into these honey traps and then put them into a position where they had to give information without being disclosed of their exploits. So I thought to myself, what about how were these people trained that were these operatives in this honey trap? So I decided to write a book, The Honey Pot, which would be the initial training of these individuals, bisexual individuals, that could operate in that kind of an atmosphere without any anger or jealousy between each other. So that's how I started thinking about doing the book. So I done a research on it, and I started to come up with horrible, horrible statistics of what is the problem in our society right now. 100 million men suffering in Canada, the United States, suffering from ED. And that told me there was 100 million women out there. And all the stress that you have in life now, trying to handle your health care, handle jobs, and all the stress of making a living, some people working 3 jobs, to have that stress put onto their sexual life, which was given to the humanity by the Creator. The most beautiful enactions between the two, between couples, I shouldn't say man and woman, between couples, that could possibly be given to, and it's being distinguished. Like, I just got a statistic, Kate, yesterday on an email that out of the millennials under 30, men and women, men under 30 only had sexual relations 28% of the time in a year. And only 18% of women had a sexual relation. That was up 8% from the year ago. So what the heck is going on? So this was all put into the when I wrote the book, I took that and I wrote it, as you say, it's visceral, it's guttural, it hits right between the eyes, and it tells there's a problem, and this book accentuates the actions of couples, but also tells that, hey, it can be solved. And when I took the book and I looked at the problems that are now, I wondered, okay, I'm a 76-year-old individual, suffered from ED, tried to overcome through diet and whatever, herbal supplements and all the everything was out there. But I thought, what did the ancients do? So I looked at the different cultures, Aztecs, Siamese, Chinese, and I saw that herbal supplements were one of the things that was used in these communities. Then I looked at the Chinese, how did they do in their ancient world for the same type of situation? You know, this is not new. They found erotic on caves 10,000 years ago. But the Chinese came up with a method called me first. And they didn't call it that. I called it that. But
right.
where the woman in this case was satisfied first because of ED in the male. And so that took all of the performance anxiety out of the act. And the man then could satisfy his partner and still be satisfied himself. So that's how it came apart about Kate. And it went from there. And the individuals in the book, these are real people who consented to be written into the book. Diana, in that
wow.
case.
Wow. Yeah.
In that case, and these are tens out of 1 to 10. These are tens. And when I sent a chapter, they were doing a study for me because, you know, I wanted to get feedback on it. Am I on the right track? Is it something that people would be attuned to? So I wrote the first chapter on fantasy, and I sent it out. And then I never heard back, and then I get, and it was, they were to send it out to different beauty salons, picking women 30 to 60, and no specific reason for that age group, but that's what they picked. And I'd get some feedback, and they sent a questionnaire out on it, and then I emailed Diana, and I said, well, I am not hearing anything. She said, I'm still reading the first chapter. I said, what do you mean you're reading the first chapter? She said, I've read it 7 times. And on the base, it was rated from 1 to 5 on sexual arousal, 5 being the climax to satisfaction. And everyone that they sent out came back 5. So I knew I was on the right track. So then I went in to the main gist of the book, onto the honeypot. So it the problem's out there. And I'm sure you never a month ago thought that you'd be talking to a 76-year-old man in Elm Creek, Manitoba, Canada, about sexual relations.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, it's funny. We should tell people this. It's like you say, that what you uncovered in this road to writing this book, this whole thing, was incredible. All this information that came forth that people, especially anonymously, would tell you. And you think about this, and what's your life been about? Business, sales consulting, all that kind of stuff. Did you ever think that you were going to write something like this or find
Never.
Out this kind of information?
Never. I write poetry and songs, And to go out of that comfort zone to write this, it was just like an epiphany. I was sort of pulled into it and didn't think I could do it. But I got some information from a co-writer, anonymous, because we have our work critiqued between each other without knowing their names and everything. And she said, I believe it was a woman, I don't know. She said, David, if you can write poems that induce a woman to tears, and you can, you can write this book and seduce a woman to...
That's your wow.
You laugh, Kate, because, you know, I, you know, in a small village, well, you know, with family and that, I was, you know, everybody running with hair on fire. I mean, when I wrote a book like this, I mean, it was...
Right, it was a shocker. It was a shocker.
But it was so relevant. You know, there's an old saying in one of the religions that if on your journey, if you find, as a traveler, you find somebody in your way, and you have two choices, you can look away and pass by, or you could give aid and succor. But if you do that, then you have to look after that individual for life. I won't tell you what religion it is, but it was so, it's so relevant to everything that I took as when writing this book. And like I say, to step out into this, you know, this was, you know, I didn't at first believe I could do it, but when all those and all the fantasies, each chapter is a fantasy, and these are the fantasies of the people replying to the questionnaires. So I wrote them into a book, and I wrote the chapters so each one could be read like a little book. Mm-hmm. For males, females, bisexuals, they could read it and enjoy. And that's what it's about. And people, you know, and as I say, I wrote it visceral and guttural for a reason, because people don't talk like you see on TV and in most of the books as lovers. They don't talk that way. So I wrote it the way that they talk. And, you know, you can go onto the internet and Google a dirty talk between couples, and there's pages of all things to say, you know. But for some reason, religious groups and whatever have come out and said, oh, no, you know, this is not right, whatever. But it is right. The Creator gives the human race this specialty of sexuality that is not given to any other species in the animal kingdom. So either the Creator fell asleep at the switch in sexuality and went for a sandwich or something and left it on, or it was given to us, being the human race, as a gift. And we take that gift, the most beautiful act between couples that can ever be done, and there's something wrong, Kate.
Yeah. It's interesting, and I don't want to give it all away. So the book is called The Honey Pot. We're speaking with David Cameron. You can get it on Amazon.com. David, thank you so much for joining us on the show. What a delight.
Okay. Thank you, Kate.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us, that nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Joining us now on the show is Andrew Malinchek. He's written a book called Coyote's Christmas Tale, and it's interesting because we were talking the other day about coyotes, the significance of animals, etc. And many of you know I used to live in the Southwest, and particularly New Mexico, and boy, this book really hit home. And I think it's a home run and will be for many of you. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So why this particular, you know, why the title, I love it, Coyote's Christmas Tale. What was it that drew you to this project in the first place and creating it?
Well, I lived in New Mexico for many years, and back to when I first moved there, I was just teaching as a volunteer at a little mission school, and I saw a play, a short skit over Christmas given by Navajos, the people here, and to make a long story short, I've been teaching for many years, and the idea of the skit just kind of stuck with me, and eventually it just turned into a story.
I love it. And do you think, you know, I said the thing about coyotes and animals and the fact that it started out as a short skit and then it grew that much bigger. Do you think there's also misconceptions or just curiosity about Indian reservations and about the Indian culture in general?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of misconceptions, you know, and it's a different place, you know. But it's so natural. If you come out here, the Navajo Reservation, up in the Four Corners area, where Utah, Arizona, Colorado, and New Mexico, they all almost meet. They actually do meet the Four Corners. So it's kind of a natural place, and there's a lot of things to see here. And I lived here many years, and I'm still here. I'm actually teaching now. Teaching math in Farmington. So,
I know, I love that story that you're the math teacher, but you come up with this incredibly creative book. So there's even a lesson in that you don't have to be one-dimensional. So tell us about the story.
Well, the coyotes, he's very mischievous. It goes, it kind of ties in with the shepherd girl, who he meets her several times out on the mesa. She's always herding her sheep. and she'll be doing different things. You know, one time she's reading a book, or she was practicing a dance, or even singing a song. And each time he comes out, he kind of has this curiosity about what's going on. And he ends up, it kind of ties into, well, with other animals as he talks about what's going on. And he's trying to be like the people in his own way, I guess, so to speak. And it doesn't seem to work out for him too well. But I think kind of the point of the lesson about the story is he kind of learns quite a bit about himself as it goes along.
Learning about himself, you mentioned him talking. The animals in your book talk, don't they?
Yeah, well, it's a story. That's the beautiful thing about books. You can let your imagination, you know, take off, and it's language. You know, as people, we have this gift of language, and I think the more we use it, you know, the better off we are.
And we're talking with Andrew Melanchek, and his book is called Coyote's Christmas Tale, and really takes it right there in the Navajo Reservation. Pick it up on Amazon.com. And in writing this book and having these characters, these animals, et cetera, talk to each other, and you took us through a little bit of what that was like, in weaving it together, and it was a short skit, it started out that way, you talked about the fact that it's, you know, ultimately is a play. Was it difficult to translate that into a book or no?
Yeah, it was. Actually, when I lived in Thailand for a year and a half. I was kind of I've been teaching many years, and I kind of need a break. And I was actually ended up teaching an English class over in Thailand. But that's when I actually converted the book from a play into a story. Yes, it was more difficult because writing a play, you just kind of see characters, they just talk to each other. But when you have to turn it into a book, you have to kind of make it has to kind of melt together, the language. Like, so you have to refer to when the coyote's talking or when the shepherd girl's talking or the other animals. So it is, it was an interesting experience. So, and I had some help, a little bit of help from a friend. So she helped me kind of give me some ideas. But yeah, it's definitely more of a challenge to get into a book.
It's interesting because you talk about, you know, you're a voracious reader. You talk about the math, what a role that's played in your life and teaching it, et cetera. In fact, it's Algebra 1 that you teach, right?
Yeah, and actually, I wasn't a math major in school. I mean, when I was younger, I was a history major when I got out of the Navy. So, but through all the years of teaching upper elementary school and middle school, I kind of developed a taste for math and a learning that it doesn't have to be so puzzling, but a lot of people find it. So my challenge was always try to make it as simple as possible.
I like that. Simple as possible. So you do this book. What's the reaction to the people around you, your friends, acquaintances, when you say, oh, by the way, I have this children's book that's even more than a children's book, teenagers, et cetera, and really adults can read it and get the message. What do they say?
Yeah, well, they're always interested. I'm semi-retired, but I went back to teaching. I was living back in the Houston area last year when I actually got this book published originally. So when I was subbing, I'd go into classes and I would bring it with me, and there was always a great interest about it. They were kind of wondering how a teacher could be an author too. So it was always a nice thing to see their reactions.
I like that, the reaction. What do you hope people take away from your story in reading it, and reading this book?
Well, I just hope that they, you know, that they kind of see some of the progression in the book of how of the culture with the Navajo people, what's happening. And there's some, you know, and about New Mexico, you can see a lot of the environment kind of, it shows up within the pictures of the book and how Coyote progressed as he went along. You know, and a lot of it is just enjoy the reading. You know, I mean, I like to read other people's books, and I think it's just a nice way to share, you know, our thoughts and our experiences.
Boy, isn't that true? Just enjoy the reading. And we're speaking with Andrew Melanchek. His book is called Coyote's Christmas Tale. We're talking about the Navajo Reservation and the Southwest, really, and the fact that he turned his play into a book. I think, you know, once you do something like this, it's so empowering, especially someone like you, who is a reader as well. Will you take this story to a different level? In other words, will you write another story, a companion piece, or take another character from the book you've already written?
Well, those are all thoughts that kind of going with me, and I'm looking to, I think this summer that's going to be one of my goals. I want to kind of hang around this area, but do a little bit of traveling up in Utah and stuff like that. It may, and just kind of work on some ideas and the trick with maybe writing something like this, you kind of have to get a bit of an idea for something that if it starts to germinate like it is, you know, so a good seed, maybe it'll sprout and grow. We'll see.
I like that. We'll see. The most important question, too, in talking about this, because you open up the whole idea of what the Southwest is like. I mentioned at the top that I lived there, and I loved it. It was really, really hard for me to leave, but it was a career move that I did. What would you say is the best thing about living in Albuquerque and living in New Mexico?
It's kind of the people are friendly. It's kind of laid back. I lived in Albuquerque a couple years ago in UNM there way back when, but I kind of prefer the smaller towns and areas. It's nice to visit Albuquerque, but you know, it's when you get out in amongst the mountains and I live close to, like I say, the Navajo Reservation here, the Shiprock, that big rock looks like a ship, you know, it's an old volcano plug, you know, so it's really nice, and it's got its own unique version to it. So and it's, we've had a lot of rain here and snow this past winter, so things are pretty green. So it's pretty nice.
I like that. Things are pretty green because people think of the desert, oh, it's just completely brown. And in many ways it is, but it's beautiful. And I think there's a misconception about that, but the fact that there's green there too. And then, of course, I have to throw this in, and this is going to make people curious. And I want them to pick up your book and then get some red and green chili. Is it red or green chili that you prefer, hot, medium, or mild?
I prefer the green and kind of medium to a little bit hot, but not too hot. I like the green chili is always good if it's still got the flavor and not all the heat.
Boy, I so agree with that. All right, so pick up Andrew's book. It's called Coyote's Christmas Tales, stuck at Navajo Reservation, the Southwest, and everything that we've uncovered. Best of luck to you with this book and with whatever your future endeavors are. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.